the Kidman Gold Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Southern California, also known as the Mission Field. California is an awesome place to live. We get to do life right here in the Golden State. And the good news is that ultimate life, real life, comes from knowing and experiencing the great God who loves us first and calls us to himself. And you know what? It should include the kids. Since some of God's favorite people are kids, at Kidman Gold, we're talking about real life, what makes kids tick, and how we grown-ups can better connect and become fluent and speak their language. Let's do that together. Hey, Robin Garvin here with Kidman Gold and...
DJ, what's up, guys?
Hey, DJ, how are you?
I am fantastic.
I'm glad. All right, we're here tackling Kidman stuff. When I say Kidman stuff, this is the focus. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to help you have a friend in ministry. And I take it back to this one little scene for me when I was a young kids pastor and I was in a kids church room. And you know how they say at Disneyland, it has no windows or doors. I felt like I was in the Haunted Mansion, Deej, because I was in one of these portables, you know, and even the doors looked like they weren't there and there were no windows. And I was trying to set stuff up for two back-to-back services and I had no team members there yet. And I was by myself. And I tell you, I heard a voice. And it wasn't Jesus. The voice said, nobody sees you and nobody cares. I mean, it was like that. And I had to cast that enemy out of there. But we can feel that way sometimes when you realize that kids' ministry is kind of a world unto itself in the whole church staff world. You know, we do some unique things and somehow can feel disconnected from the whole church ministry team. So we want to have conversations with you, people who serve kids. And so, you know, you are part of something big. There are a lot of people like you who are serving God's people and making Christ known just like you are. Mm-hmm. So welcome to that conversation here at Kidman Gold. Today, DJ and I are welcoming. Why don't you introduce this girl?
Absolutely. Okay. So you all know our producer and the guy that I used to do a podcast with, Adam Tucker. A few years ago, he met an incredibly lovely young lady. And ended up marrying her again. Way to go. And she is incredibly intelligent, very smart, very talented. And she helps out with a bunch of ministries that we have here at our church, which is also where we're recording this podcast. And we're really happy to have her, Haley Tucker.
Hi, Deej. What a lovely introduction.
Thanks,
man.
I didn't get asked to do that earlier, or else I would have prepped something even more
eloquent,
more nice.
It was great. I'm a words of affirmation. Those were all affirming.
Is that your love language?
It is my love language, yes. Touch and words of affirmation. So hug me and tell me I'm awesome and I'm a happy camper.
Otherwise, you're a cheap date.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife is things.
Yes.
So is gifts.
Give me the gifts.
Give me the gifts.
That's awesome.
There's an episode in Friends where Monica and Chandler.
We want the stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Yeah, they're on their honeymoon. Yep.
Yeah, I'm very much similar to her as well. So.
I won't say no to gifts. Don't get me wrong.
I
would never say no to something nice.
Never say no. So, Haley, you are also the youth pastor's wife.
I am the youth pastor's wife.
What does that
wife.
Look like?
I mean, I really, in hindsight, looking back at my life, feel like God was like, I built you for this. Mm. And I didn't know that until I married Adam. So I gave my life to Christ at 6 years old with my mom on our sofa during one of our regular Devo Bible story times.
Bible story times.
I know. That's what my mom.
We're going to revisit that. Okay?
We should. Yeah. We should. But my mom, I am who I am spiritually because of my leaders, but mainly because of my mom.
Yeah.
And she's just awesome. So gave my life to Christ. I was in kids choir. I didn't regularly do kids min at my church because I liked grown-up worship. I always wanted to be in there, so I'd sit with my mom. But in fifth grade, I started really getting plugged into Kidsmen, and then I did Wildlife, which was our middle school department. And that's when I feel like my faith really took off, and I realized, oh, I can have ownership of this, and I can grow. And I already loved Jesus, but I think that's when I fell head over heels for him. And I told my mom, I was in sixth or seventh grade, I said, when I'm old enough, because you had to graduate high school before you could come back and serve with the middle school department. I said, when I'm old enough, I want to be on wildlife staff. Like, this is the best thing. And so I did all of high school. And my actually, the first time I did it was this summer going into my senior year of high school. They needed an extra staff. And so I got to help out during that summer. And then as soon as I graduated high school, I was doing wildlife staff and did that all through college. And I also served with the college ministry. I've led college Bible studies, middle school Bible studies, young adult life groups, helped start the young adult ministry at my church. Again, always being like, well, this is what I'm doing, but I, you know, I'm not going to do that forever. And then the Lord had me fall in love with a youth pastor. And it was funny. When I met Adam, I really had kind of felt like my time with middle school was done with the teens.
The Lord
laughed. I know, right? Because I had gotten burnt out. I had done.
You think? I mean, this is all.
I was paid. I had gotten burnt out because I was doing college full time. I had a part time job. I was doing middle school and college ministry, and that's too much. Ministry burnout is a real thing. And I had experienced that at 21. So I had been taking a break, and then we got a new college pastor, and he needed help. And he's like, "Oh, you do movies and TV. You should do our announcement team captain." So I was like, "Okay, I can do that." So then I got back in with college. Then I became his admin assistant for a couple of years. Again, thinking this is great while I'm pursuing acting and doing other stuff. I'm getting a steady paycheck and it's at church and I love my church. And, you know, then I met Adam and God was like, guess what? All of this was preparing you to be a youth pastor's wife. Yeah. And what was so great is by that time, I think I had learned how to set healthy boundaries. I had healed that burnout that had happened. And doing ministry with Adam, I didn't realize how much I had missed it, how much I loved it. I also say I was built for it because I love the games. I'm so goofy.
Is that your
I'm so competitive, and I love the messier the game, the better it is.
You missed your era, girl. It was called the Nickelodeon era.
It was, yeah.
Dude,
you know,
that's my language.
I bring them back. I bring those games back. We do peanut butter and sometimes where it's trivia questions. And this is shout out to Andreas Carias, my middle school pastor, but you have a peanut butter sandwich, and if you get the answer right, you could have peanut butter and jelly or peanut butter and whipped cream. But if you get it wrong, it's like peanut butter and pickles, peanut butter and anchovies. We did that. And of course, all the guys are like, oh, it's fun. I'm going to do it. It's going to be great. But yeah, so I love you.
They just take a bite of it? Is that what?
They have to, just a bite. You don't have to eat the whole thing. Okay. Just a bite. But
how fun. Okay.
Yeah.
See, that'll be my nugget right there. I have to tell, I'll warn you now. We're digging for gold, okay?
Great, dig for
this
gold.
This is Kidman Gold. Mm-hmm. And so DJ and I are listening and longing and hunting down a nugget from our conversation.
Can we change it to like mining for gold?
Mining, not digging. Huh?
Yeah.
Mining.
Mining for gold.
Mining, yeah.
Digging is like, you're looking
that's
for something.
That's definitely children's ministry.
Yes. I like mining for gold. Or
not
we're prospecting.
Gold.
I didn't even hear it that way, but now I can't not hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
it took us three episodes, but I wanted to say something on the first one, but I decided not to.
Mining. I'm glad that's it was my character. Episode.
Yeah.
Yes. So okay. we made that
I feel
distinction.
The most comfortable with you.
It's
so
true.
I guess I could interrupt
I do
for a
love
while.
You, DJ. That's cool. But yeah, but also being a youth pastor's wife is exhausting and hard sometimes, and it would sometimes be a lot easier to just be staying home and not have to go be a shuttle bus for a bunch of kids.
I've
and
seen
get
some
them.
Of those.
Yeah,
I minister that way.
You know,
like, oh, he's all by himself, and I feel sad, or she's all by herself, and you know that it's not a teamwork kind of situation.
Yeah, so it's but not.
Your just, people are blessed because you got both of you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. No, I love doing ministry with my husband. It's one of the greatest gifts that I didn't know I needed or wanted. So thank you, Jesus.
No, it is an honor and a privilege. Mm-hmm. Think about all the things you could do. I mean, if you really, really think about it, Haley, we're doing something that matters for eternity.
Mm-hmm. You know, 100%.
Ministry, you know, it matters for eternity. There is no I don't know. There's no other thing I don't think that can really compare.
Mm-mm.
So it's I'm excited that you feel that way as well, mm-hmm. and can load up your car and yep. pick up girls.
When
and boys
I had
and
when
kiddos.
I had to get a new car, one of the things that sold me was that it was a 7-seater, and I Whoa. Was like, I can fit more teens in here. So that's great.
Something cool about Haley is, you know, you come from a really large church, mm-hmm. and that was your home church for the longest time. And I know that you still consider a lot of the leaders in that your leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to go from that and then to transition to a much, much, much smaller community,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
is it's a huge thing.
Yeah.
And, like, was that transition hard?
Because yes.
I know ministry, I mean, it looks different on every different level, you know.
Yeah.
And ministry is ministry, but.
Yeah. I think, well, a couple of things. One is, again, hilariously enough, probably a couple months before I met Adam, I remember I was leaving church. I was going, Jesus, if possible, I just want to be at this church until I go to heaven. And that's, you know, when Jesus starts laughing, right? And now I have come to love Grand Central Collective so much. But again, that was my family. That's where I grew up.
Yeah, it's what
and
you knew.
It's what I knew. But what is, again, so crazy is looking back, I can see how God used all the amazing leadership I was under, the training that I received, and then slowly started loosening my roots. Like the image I felt the Holy Spirit gave me right when Adam and I were getting married was like a little seedling in a greenhouse. Like it needed that extra protection.
Okay.
It needed all that stuff to grow up and become a tree that could then move and be planted somewhere. But you need to get out of the greenhouse and be planted elsewhere for your roots to keep growing,
cool.
for you to get stronger and bigger, mm-hmm. and realizing I got all those nutrients, I got all that great training and leadership and wisdom and discernment because God was preparing a place for me here. And
yeah.
what, again, what a gift and what a blessing. And, you know, I don't think I would have ever pursued, like, I don't think I on my own would have been like, you know what, I want to go to a smaller church and like dive in and do this stuff. But again, he brought this amazing man into my life that was his calling.
Yeah.
And I knew I was called to be with him and to
yeah.
marry him. And so coming alongside and being his helpmate and partner and then getting to partner with this amazing church and seeing what God has been doing for the kingdom with the kidsmen, with the teens. I'm just like, man, thank you, God, that you knew how stubborn I would be and I'd need to fall in love with someone because I would have missed out. I would have missed
yeah.
out on the amazing opportunities here. So
yeah.
it was,
yeah.
yes, it was difficult, mm-hmm. But now, I mean, and it's just a big family here
yeah.
and you learn different dynamics and
mm-hmm.
stuff, but.
So your folks still go to your previous church?
So funny enough, my mom actually goes to a different church. She really had me plugged into the church I grew up at because it was so kids and teen
yeah.
focus,
okay.
but she's more old. She loves choir singing.
Yeah.
She loves the old school hymns. So when I got old enough, she started going to a church that was more filling for her spiritually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I miss the pipe organ every now and then.
Every now and again.
Like, throwing
I
all
got
day.
An old church choir singing in
yes.
my soul.
No. I mean, every
yeah.
now and then I want a couple Ray Rachel hymns, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, exactly.
True.
Yeah.
True. So, youth ministries, that's part. But that sounds like you're going to be stepping up for some other
yes.
big jobs
yes.
here.
Yes, I
at
am.
Grand Central.
Our kidsmen director, she had some personal stuff happen and she had to step aside. And I suddenly found myself as interim kidsmen
yeah.
director pastor and was like,
I guess I'm gonna
okay,
see a camp, huh?
Here we go. Yeah. Again,
duct tape
used to
mattresses.
Joke all the what?
So
the
get
duct,
ready
tape
for the
mattresses?
Duct tape mattresses.
Yes. I used to joke all the time. I was like, I do teens. I don't do little kids. Like,
I've heard that. I've
yeah.
heard, and I've heard the other way also.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
But again, God's timing is so cool and beautiful that I had filled in a couple of times before everything happened. And I was like, whoa, I just learned so much from having to teach the kids lesson. Because
yeah.
it is. It's a completely different muscle.
Different brain.
Different brain.
Yeah.
And you have to slow down so much. And it, again, I'm finding it like, oh, God, you know exactly what you're doing. And
I can give you this win for yourself. I think one of the, as Jesus as well, one of the strongest ways to be successful in children's ministry is knowing how to tell a story well. And that's your your Instagram, right?
Haley tells a story.
I am a storyteller. And going back, so both my grandfathers were preachers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But my mom's dad, he was an itinerant preacher, but he was also an actor. And I joked because I used to pray all the time, God, I want a career like Papa's. I should have been really specific because I had meant only the Hollywood. I didn't mean the ministry too. But no, I'm here doing that. And from the time I was little, I've loved a good story. And that, I think that was also why I loved the Bible so much, because I read it. And
material's great. I know.
I just see in my head, I just see everything and what's going on. And like, as an actress, you break scripts down. And so I look and I'm like, there's this one sentence that I will get stuck on, because I'm like, there's so much, like, what was happening right before? What was happening after? Like, God, I want the details. And like, all
of
that.
Do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite Bible story?
Yes. Oh, I know. I hate the word favorite, because then it feels like exclusive.
I know.
But just a favorite, not a the favorite. A favorite.
Did I give you any warning?
Shoot, I have a favorite. I can be exclusive.
Okay, let's hear.
I want to wait for Haley.
Okay.
If she has one.
You might thunder.
So I don't. I will say I love history.
Uh-huh.
So I really love the Old Testament.
Okay.
Because I feel
there's some doozies in there.
There's some doozies. And I also I'm thinking more Deborah and JL.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You know?
Well, we just interviewed her. So
really?
Well, in the Bible it's he, JL.
No, JL is
In the Bible, is it a female?
JL's a female, who drives the tent peg through.
Oh,
the
yes, I'm sorry.
Brock is the
Correct me.
Do you even read your Bible, Robin? What is this?
I think I've got an app.
But in her defense, she's the Kidsman director. You're not going to be telling that story very often.
That is a violent, violent story.
Let's talk about how a man was killed for the Lord. Yeah.
The tent peg.
We just interviewed another children's pastor. Her name was JL, like right before the last episode. And she was mentioning some people. I was just like, I didn't know. So I'm just giving you crap or crud. But can I say that on this podcast?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We can say crap.
Okay. my grandma used to say crap just meant stuff.
There you
That's
go.
All it
That's
meant.
Stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Just
all
means
right.
stuff. Okay. But yes, I love Deborah JL. Esther, I think, is such a cool story. Daniel.
Yes.
Daniel and the, I think what I love so much about the whole Bible, but especially the Old Testament, you just see how everything ties into each other and builds, and because of the choice someone made here, how it then affected generations later all that stuff. So
how about you? I'm curious what your favorite is.
Yep. easy peasy is Joseph.
Joseph
was a dreamer. Joseph went through hardships and trials.
I love that
and
one
was
too.
Ridiculed, and yet he still rose to the top.
Yep.
And
smashing wardrobe too.
Smashing.
Yep. I have a coat of many colors, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, and the humility that Joseph had too.
Did he though?
Well, I think at the early
in his younger days, not so much.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's what I mean. Where he got to in the end.
Yeah.
Not, you know, he had to be humble.
We're all a work in progress,
right?
We're all a
work
in progress. And I see God's progressive work in the life of Joseph.
I think that once he got into Potiphar's house all the way up until he got into second in command of Egypt, I think that chapter, a long chapter of his life, I think there was a lot of humility. Because
prison
will do that.
Right? Yep. What is it going to take for you, my friend?
Yep.
It doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.
There you go.
Yep.
So, what about you?
I have a lot of favorites. But, you know, I'm into Genesis 1 and 2.
I am too. Oh,
okay.
What did I even think of? I can't get away
from
it.
I'll share it with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because it's just... Well, I should say 1, 2, and 3.
Yes.
You know, the fall is in there, but then the beginnings of redemption of, you know, God making a way for relationship to be restored. And that is the story that you see cycle through over and over. Maybe think
over
of it when
over.
You said they're all intertwined.
Yes.
Twined,
yes.
You know, so I'm preaching this Sunday. Lord help me.
You got this.
I know.
It's like it's hard.
And we're doing names of God, and I picked one that was a doozy.
What did you pick?
I picked God is there, which I thought, that sounds wonderful. God is there. God, is there? I don't even remember now. Shamal or something.
Yeah.
You should probably anyway, know that before Sunday.
I should know all know before Sunday. But it's the last verse in the book of Ezekiel.
Mm.
Have you read Ezekiel?
Yes.
Oh, my word. No, I read it for That's a rough. Badge a long time ago, but rough. I haven't read it since.
It's a rough one, yes.
So I feel like, yeah, Missionette's an honor star. Oh, crazy intense. But anyway, I feel like I need the context of how we arrive at this name of given to God yes. here. And to tell the context, it's really, but it is the whole God story.
Yeah.
It is the new heaven, the new... Yeah, new heaven coming down to earth, and yes. it's the whole beginning of the brand new age, you know, mm-hmm. and God and the glory of the Lord returns to the temple of the Lord where it had been gone,
mm-hmm.
and God is there. So anyways, I'll be ready for Sunday. I'll be ready. Those grown-ups, it's not like kids. It's not the same. Yeah.
I'm going to watch the live stream.
I'll trade you if you want to come to the grown-ups. That's
the thing is I felt more prepared for teens or like adult teaching than kid teaching.
Yes.
And I want to share this too because I'm sure there's so many leaders. I was like, I do not feel qualified to do this. But that's that famous quote that like God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called, yep. you know?
That's
and it's
so
just
good.
Like yeah. God just wants us to have Samuel attitudes. Like mm-hmm. here I am,
yep.
God. Like
Absolutely.
Your servant is listening. Like speak. And I think we can get so in our heads with ministry of, I didn't go to seminary or theology school, or I haven't been doing it all that long. And like,
I don't know who JL is.
right? You know, but we can
kick me out.
We let alone, just forget about the enemy because he's always going to yeah. throw stuff at us. But I think sometimes we can be our own worst enemy, right? And we can yeah. disqualify ourselves. I mean, just look at Moses being like, I can't do it, God, because I stutter, yeah, I do this, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And God's like, I'm going to be there with you.
Yeah.
That's the only confirmation you need. Now, that doesn't mean don't seek out wisdom. Don't. Then when you're in that position, don't then get training and like learn and grow and
Open
stuff.
Open your curriculum.
Yeah. You can read it.
Read it, please.
Read it, all that stuff. But just to know that it's okay if you don't feel qualified to do it. And it doesn't even mean, because I don't think I'm going to be in this position of kids. Again, you say something, watch what God does. I don't.
Yeah, you're yeah. Superstition.
I'll phrase it this way. I don't know how long I'll be here
yes.
for, but every season that God calls you into, it's for your growth and for the edification of the church and his glory,
yes.
So get rid of all those those disqualifiers because they never count in God's
well,
kingdom.
You're going to have to need to come up with some different games than the peanut butter one.
Yes. I have been,
right?
I am not going to lie.
Allergies.
I have been, yes, I know.
Yes.
I have been very, very grateful that the curriculum I was left with had games built in.
This is
so
why
that,
children's ministers love curriculum.
Yes.
We love it. See, youth ministers like curriculum. What? They
yeah.
don't know what that is.
Google.
Plan? They, yeah.
Google.
Google's the curriculum.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We need a plan.
Yes.
I want a programming for every minute of my 60 minute and my 90 minute time.
Well, depends and what's even the funniest thing that,
yes,
yes. But because with teens, you play game at the top to like wear them out and then have them listen. And I was confused when I was first looking at the curriculum, like, why do we have a game in the middle? And then I realized, oh, because they can't sit there for
that's
a super
right,
long time.
That's right.
They need to go get their little wiggles out so that they can finish the
so
lesson. And I was
hear.
Like, that's brilliant. So, yeah.
I learned something, too. And I think it goes with students, high schoolers as well. But we play games not just to get wiggles out, but it's also we're earning the right
yes.
to speak truth into their
yes.
lives.
Yeah.
So because we play together
yeah.
and we laugh together
yes.
and they know that I love them and we enjoy each other,
yes.
then we can hear.
Yeah.
So it's relationship.
That's good. 100%.
Sure. So
this past Sunday.
This is kind of an epiphany to me. This is a new one.
I
so
love it.
I do
no,
too.
No, but it's so true. This past Sunday, so several of our teens volunteer with the kids ministry, which is awesome, and they kill it, and it's amazing. And we were playing a game. All the kids said, can we go play the game outside? And it was this like relay and I had to set up an obstacle course and our little playground was perfect for it. And the kids finished and it was fun. And then one of our teens, Johnny, who helps out, he goes, well, what if we had the leaders, meaning me and him, race? And it was exactly what you were saying. I was in a dress. I was in sandals. I didn't want to do that. But I suddenly was like, not only are these little kids going to get to see it, but Johnny's asking for a bid. He's asking for, like, I want to go up against my leader that I see on Thursday and have fun. And so it was like, okay, I don't want to do this, but let's do it. And I almost beat him. And then I dropped one of the obstacles and had to do it all over again. But that's, it was right. Just like, it took 2 extra minutes and yeah. filled his heart and yeah. all the little kids' hearts up, yep. you know? Yep. And so it was like, yeah, that was worth it. Totally.
That's so cool.
Now, I think that's good when you put yourself out there and you are, especially in kids' ministry, yeah. you're silly enough and funny enough to mm-hmm. play along, then that really does help break down any walls, especially if you have new kids
yes.
and they're unsure about the space. You know, when we do kids' camps, a couple of years ago, I got put in charge of late night fun, and I was like, you know, at the time I had a budget of $0 to go and do it.
You're welcome.
Well, I mean, I probably could have asked for some. I wasn't dogging on your budget, you cheapskate, but away. I'm just trying.
Gosh, Robin.
No, but I mean, you know, I probably could have had money, but I didn't, but I, you know, to be truthful, I didn't want to spend any money that we didn't need to spend. And what?
You were amazing.
Oh,
too.
Thanks. My thanks. Favorite. I wasn't fishing for compliments, but I'm always open to it.
Where's
so when, but the first night we had a karaoke, or no, it was a lip sync contest with our staff. So our staff got up there, but what it did was after that, the campers, as well as the cabin leaders, I felt had a really good and solid connection with our staff because they got to see them be stupid and vulnerable on stage and just
Absolutely.
Have fun.
Yeah.
And it cost me no money, you know?
Yeah.
And then the second night, we did a fashion show where, or maybe it was last night, but where the cabin leaders got to be stupid and vulnerable in front of
yep.
everybody else.
Their campers dressed
yeah.
them up,
yeah.
whatever they had.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the campers end up, I think, have a better relationship with mm-hmm. their cabin leaders when they come down the mountain because of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they get to go back into the room and the cabin leaders literally just stand there while the campers get to yeah. play dress up with them. It's like they become their doll.
Yeah.
And I think those two things have really been good because it breaks down
yes.
any angst, any uncertainties,
yeah.
insecurities, and it just, you know, everybody just wants to be everybody's friend. So I think that's huge.
Yep. Yeah, vulnerability in ministry, if you want it, whether, you know, now I've been blessed to have the opportunity from itty bitties to grown-ups. And
yeah.
if you want vulnerability, you have to model it.
Yeah.
You can't mm-hmm. expect people to do it if you're not
That's
willing
true. That's
to
true.
Do it yourself mm-hmm. in
yeah.
whatever form that looks
At
like.
At some level,
yeah.
in some way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's good.
So I'm thinking, Haley, here you are, you're tiptoeing into kids yes. ministry. And the responsibilities that come with that. And you and I grew up similar where the church kind of was the hub of our life.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to church in my day. I don't know about yours, but my day, we had morning church and Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning and Sunday night.
Yep.
We had Wednesday night.
Yep.
Sometimes we even had and then choir practice on Thursday
yeah, yeah,
nights.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't in the choir, I was just hanging out with the choir.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there were other things in
yep.
there, you know, stuff. Small groups and things.
Yep, all that.
So nowadays, but families are really pressed
mm-hmm.
now.
Yes.
And there's other priorities. And I hate even saying priorities because they're like, well, there should be anything that's more important than, you
yeah.
know, circling up around Jesus, right?
Right?
But, you know, sports is a big deal. People want their kids to be whatever.
Right.
You know, have this skill set with sports
mm-hmm.
or well-rounded or prepping for college, all these kinds of things. How, you know, just thinking about that. And scholastics too.
Yes.
Right?
Huge.
So all this pressure for time. And like, what is the rhythm that we should seek to help? And then, yeah, throw
yeah.
in the middle of all that, then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And we all learned to unplug and didn't really learn how to plug back in.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't tell you how many of our network churches or midweek never came back.
Yeah.
It never came back. So anything, just your thoughts, being a kid, somebody who grew up
oh,
in the
man.
Busyness of life.
you know, finding a rhythm is, I think, an ongoing learning curve for me as well. It's something Adam and I talk about, because my papa, who he was the actor and the pastor, because I was always volunteering, always doing stuff, and he was saying, people will always ask more of you. They'll never ask less of you. And so I think an important thing that we forget about is ministers, and again, I'm not saying this because I have it, but it's been something that I think God's been putting on my heart, is finding that rhythm of rest within the crazy. So it's multiple things. I think we need to be intentional about the time that we set aside to fill up with our family, to fill up on the Lord, to fill up on our friends. Be intentional about that, so that when we have been able to pause, we then have clarity to realize, wait, no, this is really important, or this is where I want to go. And then the second part of that is the pastor I grew up with, he said, you can always tell what is important by what you spend your money on and how you fill your time.
Yeah.
And the reality is,
that's what freaks me out.
You know,
yeah.
And that's convicting. It's convicting. Even though I've grown up in church, it's convicting for me. And I have his words in my head all the time with that. Mm-hmm. And as parent, I'm not a parent yet, but I've watched, because I've grown up in church and because I've been a leader, the parents that prioritize church, their kids prioritize church.
Yeah.
And the parents that don't prioritize church, it's very rare that their kids will prioritize church. And so the bottom line is, even if you can't do everything, because there'll be small groups, there'll be Sundays, there'll be youth group, there'll be all this stuff. I think the most important thing you can do is prioritize church together as a family.
Yeah.
If you can only do one, be a family going to church and doing that. Because I get, like, you can't do it all, or at least you can't do it all every week, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's, I think, at least for me, it's, hey, what you have to put the first things first. And there's a lot, again, the pastor I grew up with, he said, there's a lot of good things, but are you choosing what is best? And I think about Mary and Martha. Martha,
sure.
Cleaning, serving, wanting to provide food for Jesus and the disciples. None of that was bad.
Right.
But Mary chose what was best by sitting at Jesus' feet. And are we as ministers, are we as family, are we as just following the Lord, are we choosing good things over the best thing?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to turn to the dad who's got three kids. One is of sports age.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, do you know who Mary and Martha
are? Yeah.
Okay. That was probably loud.
The Book of Luke.
Yeah. I'm just playing. I'm playing. No, I got so much respect for you, and I'm just razzing
poor
you.
Poor Robin.
We're kind of in the middle of that right now. Link has, it's his second year of flag football, and the first year, he would have practice on Wednesdays, or sometimes it would be like on a Tuesday or a Thursday, but then his games would be on Fridays. And so that always worked out for us, and right now, our church, we just started doing on-campus midweeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the last, I don't even know how many months, we were meeting at a coffee shop and doing worship nights there.
It
and
was
it was
like seven or
eight. Yeah. Eight. How many fingers was that, Tucker? That was eight. So about 8 months, and it was one of my favorite events. I really loved going to the worship nights. So we just started coming back, and it's been really hard for me not going because Link's games got moved to Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
yeah.
It's not even like he's going to miss a practice if he comes to church on Wednesday. He literally misses games.
Yeah.
So, the city of Burbank, again, SoCal, they're all heathens. So they don't care about church, so it has to happen on a Wednesday or a Sunday. But so I will say that's really hard, and it's the first time in probably my entire life that Wednesday night was not prioritized towards
mm-hmm.
church.
Yeah, yeah.
And even Friday night, the men's had their get together for men's
yeah.
ministry, and we couldn't come to that because he had
football
practice,
games.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So we're at this weird phase in life. I have always prioritized Sunday. Sunday is always going to be my family goes to church day.
Mm-hmm.
But now in my new position at Disney, there are a couple of Sundays, you know, and I'm in charge of putting together a lot of events for the company. And I will always, if we do it on a Sunday, it's like later in the day. So that way I can still be here and then I'll like shoot down to Anaheim. But what's happening now is, since I work with a lot of our international partners, whenever they are doing stuff here, then I have to, you know, unfortunately do stuff on Sundays. So it's a juggling act. And at the same time, when it comes to me serving, it's like, I want to worship with my family together. I want to serve with my family together. And when I can't do that, I still bring the kids on Sundays. So that way they have church here or they come with my mom and dad. And then I'll usually come on a Friday or Saturday and I'll prep everything. A lot of our stuff that we have at our church is automated. So, but I'll get everything prepped. So that way, whoever is running everything AI, on Sunday, not AI, I wish we're getting there. So that way they can show up and kind of hit one button and things will start working for them. So I still will find time to invest. And I think it's kind of like the widow's mite a little bit, whereas you may not be able to have, you know, as much money or as much time to give to the church, but what can you give? And it's like, I choose to, like, I came up here last night with Link and we set up some more cameras and lighting stuff. And I was here for about an hour and a half. Usually on Fridays or Saturdays, I'll come up and I'll spend a couple of hours to prep and get everything ready for Sunday. And even if I've worked all day, I will still come up and I will still spend that time because that's my ministry. And I feel like a lot of people, not to, you know, knock them down, I guess everybody has their own threshold of how tired they get and all that stuff, you know, and whatever they can give, hopefully in their heart, that is what they feel called and even kind of pushing the limits of what they can give. Cause I think we all need to be stretched, but I do think a lot of people can easily just bow out from something because they simply don't feel like it.
Yes.
And we're also in a culture where it's okay to do that. You know, you can take mental health days, which we didn't have when I was in college. You can do all this. And do I think that stuff is important? Yes, I do. But I think a lot of it is also become a really easy way out to not be committed and to not give when you probably in your heart of hearts know that you should.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing is that ultimately it's going to be between you and the Lord, right? Like we can encourage people to come to church. We can do all these things and we can set them up for success as best we can. But ultimately everybody's going to have to stand before Jesus one day and say, this is what I spent my money on. This is what I spent my time on. Was it for the kingdom or was it for my glory? Yeah. And it's hard. It's really hard. And I think there is a balance. God doesn't want us to be legalistic about it. There's some Sundays we can't be there. There's some Wednesdays we can't be there. Yeah. But when we can't be there, I think I'm not a parent yet, but I look at the model my mom gave me and it was, what's your heart? Where is your priorities? Are you talking to God about it? What are you doing? And it's, you know, and then also realizing, okay, I can't do this now, but I can maybe do this. The widow's mite, what I have to give, I will give the best that I can give. Mm-hmm. And just talking to your kids about and I know your family does that with your kids so well. Mm-hmm. This is why we do these things. Yeah. I think that is a crucial thing because it can be just this rhythm of we go to church, we serve, we do this. But why do we do this? Adam set up a really good model with the youth, which is now something I've started to do with the little kids, because we even take an offering during a teen service. And it's always, why do we give an offering? What is the purpose? And explaining, like, this is what God called us to do. Mm-hmm. It benefits the community. It's a way that we surrender our finances. And maybe you guys can't give financially yet, but you can give of your time. You can do these different things.
Yeah.
When we explain it, because God is a God of mystery, but there's also things that he's really clear about.
He's got 66 books in
in
the Bible.
And so the things that he's clear on, let's talk about it. Yeah. Let's flesh it out. Mm-hmm. My mom always said, and this is the principle I've tried to take in with me with youth ministry, with kids ministry, it's like, whatever the kid is asking for, give them to the amount that their learning ability is ready to receive it, but always realize that they're way smarter than you think they are.
I agree.
Yeah.
They are.
And so,
Now, you told me at the beginning you were 6 years old.
I was six, yeah.
When you got it, you're like, I need a savior. Mm-hmm. I need someone to rescue me.
Yeah.
God's talking, and he's saying this, yeah. And I'm saying yes.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. I'm glad you did, Haley. I'm glad.
Me too.
Okay, here's a question. You can,
yeah.
Maybe it doesn't apply to you. Was there ever a season where you walked away from him?
You know, there wasn't, and I can't give myself credit for that. I'm getting emotional. The way I look at my faith is I am living the legacy of the people who came before me. My grandpa used to tell this story of how he'd go over to his Mama and Papa Bragg's house. And as he would fall asleep, he would look at Mama Bragg, get on her knees, and he would hear her pray over her kids and her grandkids. And I am so blessed. Because I have that on both sides of my family.
Yes, you are.
I have that on my dad's side, and I have that on my mom's side. Now, there's people within my family that have walked away.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, God has not let me. And I remember at 12 years old when I was really getting into my faith, there was a I went to a private Lutheran school, kindergarten through eighth grade.
Okay.
And there was a time of prayer in chapel one day if you wanted to go. And I have this clear memory of 12 years old being on my knees praying, God, don't ever let me outlive my love for you. What 12-year-old prays that? That was the Holy Spirit in me.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I want to encourage people with, is that it can be really easy to dismiss younger kids or teens that they didn't mean it. They can't, they don't fully get all the doctrines and all
that
stuff.
I've sure seen the dismissal of it.
You know, because I sure didn't at 6 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still things I'm learning.
Ages and stages, though.
Yes. And so it's like, but Jesus said, let the little kids come to me. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are like one of
these
little ones, you know?
Yes.
And so it's like, there is something to having a childlike heart and faith. And that doesn't mean ignorance,
no.
But that means trust
and
confidence in what you're being told. And when you give kids the opportunity to run with their faith and let them know that what they're experiencing is real. Because I can't tell you how many times the enemy, though, tried to tell me you didn't mean it. When you were 6 years old, you shouldn't have gotten back. Like you better be going to that altar call. You didn't fully process or understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand rebuking or rejecting and speaking truth at that time. But now I'm like, oh, man, that enemy, he's a jerk. That's a big old lie. Cause I can look at what happened. And again, just the model of my mom, her faith has been a quiet, steady faith of on the front porch with her Bible and her devos and prayer
props
warrior.
To your mama. Mm-hmm. Props to your mama.
Yep.
Jesus,
great.
Mama.
Yeah.
Wow. Powerhouse Terry.
Yeah.
Props to my mama in heaven, Thelma. Thelma Louise is her name. Is that funny?
Seriously?
That's
wow.
Thelma Louise. Yeah. Well, all of us had godly mamas that taught us well.
Yeah.
And it stuck.
Yep.
You know?
It stuck. And that's not to say I didn't have doubts or that I still don't experience doubts.
Sure.
But again, it's never been a like, oh, I'm shaken now. It's just been like, okay, God, I don't get this.
I'm a little older than you, Haley.
Yeah.
I'm a little older than Deej. Yeah. A lot older than Deej. A lot older than both of you. And I'm just going to let you guys know there are traps that are designed for every decade of your life.
Yeah.
There are things in your 30s that you're not going to experience in your 20s.
Yeah.
There are things in your 50s. That you haven't experienced yet, that are specific stumbling blocks for your growing walk with Jesus. So I'm going to go, I think it's Luke 22, where Jesus is talking to Peter right before Jesus goes to the cross. Remember, it's all sketchy between he and Peter at that time. And he says, Simon, Simon, he calls him his birth name.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the significance is, but I'm sure there is. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. And then I read this and it was like for the first time I've ever seen it in my life. But I have pleaded for you.
Yeah.
Jesus prays for us, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus stands in the gap.
Yep.
Mm. Not just my grandma praying for me, but Jesus prays for us.
Mm.
And he said, I have pleaded for you, Simon. I have pleaded that your faith would remain.
Yep.
That's what Jesus prays for all of us, yes. that our faith will make it to the very end. That is solid gold yeah. right there. Yeah. So I'm going to let my own thing be my nugget
there
today.
You go.
I love it. There I love go. It, Robin.
Okay. Jesus prays for us. That's solid gold right there. Yeah. Okay. Give us a nugget, Deej.
What you said about Samuel, I think that having that mentality of here I am, mm-hmm. As ministry leaders, we have to constantly have that. And, you know, I've talked a lot, and I even did a couple of leadership classes one time just about, you know, burning out and not getting yourself to that point. But, you know, God always looks at our heart.
Yep.
And like you brought up Moses, you know, Joseph was arrogant, you know, David had his own set of issues. But each one of them in their own way was like, you know, ready for God to use. Mm-hmm. And it might not have been that they were ready at that moment,
right.
but you need that stepping off point of having that humble heart to be able to say, okay, I'm ready, use me. And I thought that was, cool. that's mm-hmm. mine.
I know we aimed all our questions at you, Haley, so you may not have a gold nugget to share. But I don't know if anything pop in your head or like, oh, did you hear me say that? Out of my own mouth? Wow.
I'm like, yes, what I said that was so amazing. No, I'm trying to think just that. I mean, I guess because what the Samuel thing again, it was as I was saying it, it was again like, oh, yeah, God, it's just. Are you willing? Are you willing to be used by God? He stands in the gap. He prays for us. You can't get away from those two things. Cause if you have, if our God is for us, who can be against us?
For sure.
You know? I guess it's just like, know that the seeds you're planting can be affecting generations to come. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I was saying what I loved about the Bible verses in those stories. It's like we have no idea if what we're doing, what it can bring. Because there's so often in ministry, it feels like I've poured, and nothing has happened.
Yeah, we're like the farmer waiting for the seed to sprout.
But we can't always there. Not every season is going to be a harvest season,
right?
And sometimes God calls us to just stand there with a hose and water dry ground. That's it. That's our job. We're just trying to get this ground a little soft.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do get to harvest, and sometimes years later we get to see the fruit of that. Mm-hmm. But just don't grow weary. That's my big verse. Don't grow weary of doing good, because in time you will reap a harvest.
Yeah.
So don't give up.
Haley, I see Jesus in you.
I'm
excited that you are going to tell stories to kids.
I know. It's a really cool
amazing.
Kid.
So before we close this session today, would you pray for our kids, pastors? No, I changed that. I'm going to ask you to pray for our kids.
Mm.
I'm going to pray that kids will have their own come to Jesus moment and that it will stick.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All the way.
Amen. Absolutely. Okay? Thank you.
Go,
thank
girl.
You. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have knitted each and every one of the kids that will come across our paths perfectly in their mother's wombs, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have good works planned far in advance for them to do. I pray, God, that they can, the parable of the seeds, that they can each, when they hear your word, it can be a seed that goes deep and the sun doesn't scorch it out. The weeds of this world doesn't choke it out, that it is not a shallow faith, that it is a deep faith, God. And you promise that if you raise a child up in the way he should go, that he will not leave you, Lord. And so I just pray for all the kids that are going to come across these kidsmen, pastors, lives, God. We know that you are outside of time and you are eternal. And I pray just that these kids can come to know you and love you with all their heart, soul, and mind, that they be fierce little warrior princes and princes for you. Did I say princes and princes? Princes and princesses, God. And that they can be a radical awakening and shift in this culture for your kingdom, God. There's so much to pray, but I pray that their joy and their peace not be shaken or taken from what they can find in you, Lord, that you become their ultimate source of comfort.
Absolutely.
We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Great episode.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you, Haley. Bye, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Kid Men Gold Podcast, hosted by Robin Garvin and DJ Mastin. Produced by Paved Path Productions. Executive producer, Adam Tucker. Special thanks to Grand Central Collective. Now you can stream or download Kid Men Gold wherever you get your podcast. It is released every third Tuesday of the month. We want to thank you for listening and have a blessed day.